All right, Fantasyland episode 2, a WNYO podcast. Stephen Beyer, Ryan Skinner here, giving you all the fantasy football advice that one could ever ask for. As we're moving on to week 9 already, hopefully everyone had a successful week 8. Everyone picked up the dub in their fantasy football leagues. As far as this week is concerned, we do have a couple teams on a bye, so if you do have any of these players on this team, you might want to keep an eye out, work that waiver wire. We have the Lions, the Seahawks, the Bucks, and the Washington football team. So they're on a bye this week. But of course, Ryan, we have to start off with the biggest fantasy football news that we probably will have this season with the injury of Derrick Henry, fantasy's RB1, possibly the MVP of the National Football League this year. It is supposed, what it looked like the first half of the season. He fractured his right foot. He's going to be out at least 6 weeks, possibly up to 10 weeks for the recovery period. Losing Derrick Henry, he was a guy who's probably having some high hopes for fantasy owners. They had a pretty good playoff picture in sight, and their fantasy ships are sinking at the moment. Ryan, what do you make of this huge injury in the fantasy football season?
For people who have Derrick Henry, they've got to be devastated. I mean, you've probably spent your number one pick getting this guy, and now he's out for the next 6 to 8 weeks. There's a chance he comes back for playoffs, but, I mean, it's still, those weeks are what get you into the playoffs, and it'll be hard to get there without him.
All right, yeah, of course, our thoughts and prayers go out to all the Derrick Henry owners. This is a pretty tough time for you, and it is a running back injury, which is such a thin waiver wire to kind of work here. Now, you might just look at the backups, Jeremy McNichols, and they did sign Adrian Peterson. I mean, is there any one of those running backs that you can, you know, have any trust in going forward through the year?
It's hard to tell this early with Adrian Peterson not having played in so long. However, I would say Adrian Peterson is probably the best bet out of those two guys. I don't know if you can start either one this week, but, I mean, it will definitely be interesting going forward.
Are you looking for, like, a Band-Aid this week? So you said you don't think that you should start him this week, even if you know you have Derrick Henry. If you're a Derrick Henry owner, there's a high chance that you're a high priority in the waiver wire, so you might not get the best running backs available, and we'll definitely highlight those running backs coming up a little bit later. But if you are a Derrick Henry owner and you just need a one-week Band-Aid, you see McNichols on there, maybe you see Adrian Peterson on there. Do you think, or maybe you handcuff them if you're smart enough to have McNichols with Derrick Henry, do you think that you have any confidence? You said you don't have confidence in starting McNichols this week?
McNichols, I do not believe that he will be getting the red zone touches. I believe that it will be Adrian Peterson getting those touches. And therefore, if you're going to choose one out of those two, I would personally go with Adrian Peterson.
Okay, I'm actually going to have to defer from that statement. I'm going to disagree. Adrian Peterson, you know, he's 36 years old. You know, that is like 100 years old as far as running backs age. But not only the age, because we've seen that he has kind of aged gracefully in the running back, in the eyes of running backs. But also, I just think that McNichols is there. He knows this offense. They're going to have to work up Peterson. I do agree that there's a good chance that he will get the red zone work. There could be a chance that, you know, half the touches that Peterson gets are in the red zone and on the goal line. So there's a chance that he does fall in there. But as far as McNichols, I think he's going to get a heavy bulk just because he knows this offense. They're going to give Peterson a week to kind of ramp up and practice. They did sign him yesterday on Monday, so of course they are probably going to, you know, he will have a full week of practice and he'll get those touches throughout the week and he'll learn the offense. But I'm going to go McNichols because also he's a running back who is, you know, the committee guy where he is going to catch the ball. When Derrick Henry is not running the ball, which is very, very limited, he's on the bench when McNichols is there on third down or if they need a comeback on a two-minute drive. McNichols has been the guy to catch the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. But, like, along with that, what would you say makes for those wide receivers? I mean, you got Julio Jones there, who might play. He's questionable. We'll talk more about that later. And you got A.J. Brown. And both of these guys should be good wide receivers. Should you have more hope for them going forward with this injury?
Yeah, I definitely think this all falls on Ryan Tannehill now. He probably is rostered in a lot of leagues, Tannehill, but I would say that if you are a Ryan Tannehill owner, this bumps his stock up to where he may have been like a fringe top 10 quarterback. This could even put him a little bit higher because they're going to be a pass-first offense now. McNichols and Peterson does not scare anyone, so they are going to prepare to really not, they're not going to stop the run as much, which has made it easier for Tannehill to throw the ball, but he's still a talented quarterback, and I do think that Tannehill is going to get his opportunity to air it out. They have Jones, they have Brown, they have Firkser, the tight end, but if you're an A.J. Brown owner, for sure, you are doing jumps for joy. He is going to get he's going to get way more touches. Tannehill is going to be looking his way, even in the red zone, you know, instead of the ground and pound game, do you give it to McNichols, or do you say, hey, let's have Tannehill throw it to A.J. Brown?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, A.J. Brown, if you have him, even last week when Derrick Henry was playing for most of the game, he was looking pretty good. He was looking like almost like last season A.J. Brown. And so now with this injury, he should get even more than that. And Julio Jones, I mean, if he ever decides to be healthy, should be the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't have any confidence in starting Julio just, you know, before this Derrick Henry injury happened. He's had a plethora of injuries. I'm as talented as he is, and of course he's a Hall of Fame wide receiver, but as far as fantasy is concerned, he is not a Hall of Fame fantasy wide receiver. You know, you are preparing to lose him for two or three games at the minimum every year. Going back to Tannehill here, so according to the ESPN Standard Leagues, he is 13th against, he's 13th overall ranked quarterback. He's averaging just shy of 16 points, rostered in about 73% of leagues. I think this Tannehill should be picked up in about 100% of leagues. There are 25% that are out there without a Tannehill. This definitely bumps up his stock. Like I said, they're going to want to throw the ball. I'm sure they have way more faith in Tannehill than McNichols and Peterson. But you're saying Peterson, I'm saying McNichols. This may set up for another pretty good board bet here. What do you think, Ryan?
I mean, I don't know if you want to lose another one of those. I mean, you lost both last week with the Steelers mm-hmm. pulling out the win and the Titans, the Seahawks wide receivers combining for way more than 30 points in PPR formats. I think that, who was it? Amari Cooper. So it was Cowboys wide receivers. Yep, that was my bet. But it was Cowboys wide receivers, and you had Amari Cooper who put up 25 points by himself. So add on CeeDee Lamb, I think he had a bunch of catches and almost 100 yards, I believe, if not over 100 yards. So that combines for a lot more than 30 points. So
yep,
if you want to lose another one, feel free to bet me.
Well, did we say 30 points or didn't we say the top 25? I thought we agreed on the top 25 wide receivers as far as rankings. But then, because that would have been a foolish bet for me. I thought that they'd be outside the top 25, but they both ended up being inside. So I guess either side of the coin that you look at, I do end up being the loser. Ho-hum. So... just to kind of wrap up the Derrick Henry news, which again is just devastating. It's so tough to lose running backs in fantasy football. Nonetheless, the number one running back, the MVP. So, and also, you know, Adrian Peterson, you're replacing a Hall of Famer for a Hall of Famer. Just as far as that's concerned, just not a fantasy Hall of Famer. But you're going Peterson. I'm going McNichols here. It's just so tough. Derrick Henry, you know, it's a big blow. Maybe start thinking about the draft next year if you're an owner of him.
In other news, what do you make of Aaron Rodgers now? Aaron Rodgers, we found out, has COVID, is unvaccinated, so we have no idea. The earliest he could possibly be back is Saturday. Saturday of next week, that is.
Yes.
So what do you make of Jordan Love with that injury?
Well, yeah, so, COVID. Yeah, so I guess that's considered now. It is, you know, 2021. Everything's all weird. So, yeah, Aaron Rodgers, of course, we thought the Derrick Henry news was going to be a huge bombshell. We're like, oh, okay, we're just coming off the Derrick Henry high, and then, boom, we get slapped in the face with Aaron Rodgers, too. So, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is going to be out. Like you said, he's going to be back next Saturday at the earliest. As far as Jordan Love is concerned, I'm not touching him. I know everyone may think that just because they're the Packers and every time you bring in a rookie quarterback to replace a veteran, that something good's always going to happen, or a young quarterback, that is. I'm not touching him, even if you are trying to get cute and think, oh, it's the Chiefs' defense. I'm staying away from Jordan Love. They do have good weapons around him, but I just think the book, there's no book on him. We're not sure what he's capable of. Maybe a couple first-game jitters, maybe. But I think there are some better streaming options to go than Jordan Love. Your thoughts on Love?
I think that it's probably just me, my hopes talking, but they are the Packers. I mean, especially if Devontae's back and MVS. I mean, a lot of these guys are potentially back, and if they have these weapons back, it's going to be hard for Devontae not to make a play as long as he gets the ball. And they can design plays that get him the ball anywhere.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when in doubt, Rodgers, when in doubt, give Devontae Adams the ball. That's what it was. Obviously, Devontae Adams is going to take a big hit. He's always the fantasy number one running back on a weekly basis. I don't think that's the case this week. They are playing the Chiefs, so I do think you keep him inside the top 10, but they definitely do not share that relationship that A-Rod and Devontae Adams have. I think if you're an Aaron Jones owner, that also looks pretty good. Maybe even an A.J. Dillon owner, too. I mean, we thought that they'd be splitting the carries while A-Rod was the main guy. So when you're already the B guy sharing a workload, you know, that's pretty frustrating as a fantasy owner. But now, do you think that they're going to be a run-first team? Do you think that Jones and Dillon are going to get the bulk just to kind of ease the workload to Love?
I think that there will be a lot more passes to those running backs, but it will not be a run-heavy team. I don't think the Packers have it in them to be a run-heavy team. They are almost always pass-heavy. They love passing the ball. And sure, will they pass more to those running backs because Jordan Love can't be as consistent with those medium or longer throws? Sure. But Aaron Jones should be expecting more catches. For PPR, that is fantastic for him.
Mm-hmm. Right now, the Chiefs ranked against the quarterback. Their overall defense, rather, is ranked 31st overall. So they are not a good defense at all. So if you are playing a team, super, super light on quarterbacks, you know, all these teams are building up their rosters with backups and you have absolutely no one. Jordan Love, you can at least feel good that they are playing the Chiefs. Against the run, though, if we're talking about running backs with Jones and Dillon, like you said, the option for dump-offs are actually good in case the pocket collapses there. They're middle of the pack. They're the 20th ranked defense against the run, the Chiefs, that is. I think if you're Aaron Jones' owner, as frustrating as this season has been, because no matter what, he still is the number 6 ranked running back in fantasy, but he still hasn't gotten the touches that an RB1 should get. I believe Dillon had a double-digit touches last week, which is frustrating again. You know, you sign Aaron Jones this big contract, and now A.J. Dillon's getting in the way. They're trying to think more of a committee approach, but maybe A.J. Am I wrong to think that A.J. Dillon's a sneaky ad, just thinking that, at least in my eyes, that they're going to run the ball more?
I mean, if you haven't had him already, then sure, absolutely add him. I mean, in both my leagues, somebody has A.J. Dillon because he has been not a great running back, but definitely somebody, if you're struggling at that position, to have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not great, but good enough. And sometimes that's good enough in fantasy. Right now, he does, he's rostered in over 50% of leagues. Right now, he's in 57% of ESPN standard leagues. So there is a big chunk of you that could go ahead and pick up A.J. Dillon. Now, is this going to be the case next Sunday? No. This is possibly a one-week Band-Aid at best. Again, if you want to think about getting cute with it. But this kind of two-headed running back approach for fantasy that the Packers are bringing, this Chiefs defense can bring a lot of weird opportunities to different fantasy players. I don't know what it is. I'm thinking that A.J. Dillon could be a smart little ad here. But as far as, the wide receivers are concerned, as far as Devontae Adams, like we said, probably a little bit lower in the running back and the wide receiver rankings. Anyone else that you're trusting with Jordan Love at the helm as far as wide receivers or tight ends?
It's hard to say. I mean, Tanyan is always a guess. I mean, maybe he falls in there, maybe he doesn't. Tanyan's hurt, though, now, so Tanyan's completely out.
There's old man Mercedes Lewis, and then there's Josiah Duguara. I probably just butchered that name. But, yeah, so I don't think that those are going to be fantasy-worthy tight end names. Just going off the cuff of that.
If Rodgers was starting, though, I would say Mercedes might get some more action going forward, and he might fall into some people's teams. For this week, I would not be going with anybody other than Devontae, Aaron Jones, and maybe Dillon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say if you're a Randall Cobb owner, you're all excited about last week, and he had a 2-touchdown performance. Alan Lazard is back. They're going to bring back Scantling. So you are looking at a lot of these Packers wide receivers and going, I don't know, Rodgers is having a good year. You're going to have to wait off at least another week where I think we can agree that it's at least Jones and Adams. Maybe I'm a little bit more bullish on A.J. Dillon, but man, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, he's out Sunday against the Chiefs, which would have been a great game, too. I mean, the Packers and Chiefs, that would have been a high-flying event. So Aaron Rodgers is out this week, possibly next week as well. Earliest he can come back is Saturday. So moving right along here to another fantasy stud, we got Christian McCaffrey. His 3-week stint is done, and the Panthers did designate him return off the IR. Of course, he has that hamstring injury. How new is this fantasy podcast talking about Christian McCaffrey injury? But he was limited in practice Wednesday. Now, even though they did designate him to return off the IR, that doesn't mean that he is starting Sunday, but it is a step in the right direction. I mean, Christian McCaffrey, there's a possible look for him to play on Sunday.
Absolutely, and I think that we both know that if he's not playing, that you start Chuba Hubbard, and if he is playing, then you start Christian McCaffrey. I think it's pretty easy. And if Christian McCaffrey is playing, I would not be starting Chuba Hubbard in almost any format because it's Christian McCaffrey. I mean, he will be touching the ball on every other play, I think.
Mm-hmm. And Chuba, I mean, he hasn't been the Mike Davis of last year. He hasn't been a top, 8 running back. When Christian McCaffrey was hurt, taking over the load. But, I mean, last week, he had 24 rushing attempts against the Falcons. He had a touchdown. He fell into the end zone there. His last 4 games, 24, 16, 12, and 24 as far as touches. So he's definitely getting the volume. He's only been over 100 yards once. He has 2 touchdowns, not really a factor in the passing game, that is. Yeah, if Chuba Hubbard does end up getting the start, you definitely start him. He's a safe RB2. But Christian McCaffrey, you know, if you're a fantasy owner of him, you probably drafted him number one overall. You're just so tired of this. I mean, I had Christian McCaffrey last year. It was the same song and dance with him, you know, coming back to practice. He's not practicing. Oh, he may be hurt again. Oh, he re-injured the injury. It's just frustrating. So hopefully, even if it's against the Patriots, he's definitely a set it and forget it. I think we can both agree that if McCaffrey does play, he's playing.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of running backs that have been injured, Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been injured, and Darrell Williams has seemed like the guy to put in there instead. But Derek Gore had a big game on Monday night. What do you think of this guy, Derek Gore?
As far as what I think about him, he took away a Monday night possible miracle from me, from Darrell Williams. I needed a couple more points from him, but I can't be greedy there. But yeah, so Edwards-Helaire is on the IR. He could possibly return this week. He is done with his 3-week stint. They may give him another week, so it looks like. Even if he is, they're probably going to go with a tandem running back approach. You mentioned Derek Gore. I mean, where did he come from? They had Darrell Williams, Jerick McKinnon, and then Derek Gore was there. I believe just pulling up these Monday night stats here as far as what he played against the Giants. Yeah, he had 11 touches. I think Darrell Williams had 15 or 16 touches. So they were just about equal as far as that. He did get a goal line rush for a touchdown. 11 for 48. I'm a Darrell Williams fantasy owner because I also have Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I don't feel like picking up three Chiefs running backs, but he's definitely going to be a thorn in your side. I don't think that was a one-week stint. Do you?
No, I don't. I think that Derek Gore showed a lot of promise in that game, and I'm sure that their opponent were not expecting that at all. I mean, you expect Darrell Williams to get those touches, and then this guy, number 40, Derek Gore, shows up, and you see that last name, Gore. I mean, for any running back, it's kind of like, haha, I'm Gore. But, yeah, I mean, the defense probably wasn't expecting it, which kind of helped him in that game. I'm not sure if you pick him up or not, but it's hard to say.
Yeah, I don't think he's there yet. I think, you know, if we're going off of roster percentage right now, he's only owned in about 1.6% of leagues, and I'm sure those are 20-team leagues or something like that. So Derek Gore, I would not say pick him up just because there's the possibility of Helaire coming back. But even when Helaire does come back, this is going to be a running back by committee approach. I think they're going to toss out, yeah, we drafted Helaire first round last year. They're throwing that concept out the window. They saw what they got from Williams. They saw what they got from Gore. Jerick McKinnon is kind of a receiving back to kind of change the pace up there. So if you're a Chiefs running back owner, you are kind of sick to your stomach seeing these different running backs kind of have success, have good looks. I'm not super sure that you can start any of them on a weekly basis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So in other big injury news, it wasn't an injury, but in a player that's unable to play, for right now at least, Calvin Ridley steps away from football just like moments, it seemed like, before Sunday's game. That was huge news. What do you make of that?
Yeah, so it did come out on Sunday. He put out the tweet, and obviously, you know, it's not more of an injury, but more of a personal matter. So, you know, we're going to respect that, and obviously we hope that Calvin Ridley gets all the help that he needs, and he'll be back on the football field soon, or so we hope. But as far as from a fantasy perspective, you know, Cordarrelle Patterson, he's going to get a lot of those touches along with Calvin, with Kyle Pitts. I think those are the only two that you can trust this week. Maybe going forward, you have Russell Gage and Tajay Sharp.
Maybe even Zaccheaus?
Perhaps. I think that probably the number one guy is going to be Pitts. He's definitely broke out. He's had that kind of tight end second-year stint in the second half of this fantasy season so far. So he's definitely kind of shed that like rookie tag, because rookie tight ends in fantasy do not usually do well. But Pitts, having a very, very monstrous last couple weeks, I think he's the number one option there, kind of in a must-start tight end. But I think Cordarrelle Patterson has also kind of bumped up that elevation now. Is there anyone that you see?
Nobody else that I see. I don't see Kyle Pitts benefiting as much as you think. I mean, yes, he will hopefully get targeted more, but also Calvin Ridley was pulling the best the best defenders on each team, and now the Jalen Ramseys or whoever they're going against will be on Kyle Pitts no matter what. I mean, it was kind of questionable in the past few weeks, but now the best defenders will be on Kyle Pitts. And last week he put up 3.3 in PPR. That is not very good.
Mm-hmm. At all. Yeah, last week was not too good for him. Cordarrelle Patterson did have a very good week. He got his running back touches. He got his wide receiver touches. He even had a touchdown. So I think Patterson is going to be kind of that secret weapon there to kind of make this Falcons offense move in the absence of Calvin Ridley. But I do think that you're right there. I do think that even if, you can't cover a running back the way you want to. So I think that the Pitts is going to get the treatment of the Jalen Ramsey's, the number one corner. He will throw fits with that, but I think I have my faith in Arthur Smith, where Kyle Pitts can get those touches. I won't write him off just yet. I think if you do have him, you are starting him on a weekly basis until he really starts to hit a downslope. But even with Calvin Ridley, who was out, the last couple weeks, before that he put up 163 yards, 119 with a touchdown, and they also had 9 targets the week before against the Washington team. So with no Ridley, we're not super sure when he's going to be back, but in the meantime, I think those two weapons are there. Russell Gage has been there. He does have kind of a rapport with Matt Ryan. Until I think we're going off of more, instead of blind faith, I think we're both going to say, if we see it, we're not going to believe it until we see it. Are we both on that page with the other Falcons wide receivers?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So another wide receiver news, AJ Green, number 31 this year, surprisingly, among wide receivers, is on the COVID list now and most likely won't be playing. So if you have DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, he's hurt right now, but as long as DeAndre Hopkins is active, that should help him. And so going forward, I would definitely play DeAndre Hopkins. And hopefully Kyler Murray is also active. So there's a lot of injuries on that team. What do you make of all those?
Yeah, so the AJ Green injury, which, we thought that AJ Green was kind of past his prime when he left these Cincinnati team, but he's kind of had a sneaky good year as far as with the Cardinals. He's probably been the number two wide receiver being thrown. Just kind of bringing up his stats right now. Green, he's kind of been a thorn in the side. We keep saying that, these Cardinals wide receivers, two are going to have a good game, two aren't. Right now he's a 30th ranked wide receiver in fantasy, which actually isn't that bad considering all the weapons they have around him. AJ Green right now has 30 receptions and about 450 yards, 3 touchdowns on the year. His last couple weeks, he's kind of been slowly working up. The last 3 weeks, he's had 5 receptions for 80 yards and a touchdown, 66 yards with 3 receptions, and then 5 for 50. So he's not getting a huge boom target, but there's a steady floor for AJ Green. He's out now, so I think if you do have DeAndre Hopkins, that's a good move. But also, I'm thinking Rondale Moore. I'm going off on him this week. Give me all the Rondale Moore that you can think of. Am I crazy about that?
I don't know. It's hard to say between Kirk and Rondale Moore. I mean, I like both of them, and they should both benefit from this, but I might have Christian Kirk over Rondale Moore. I think that Rondale Moore had that one big catch that provided him a big game, and a lot of people got really excited about that game, and it was really just one big catch.
Mm-hmm. One big
Christian name. Kirk has been more consistent, I believe, and has been there on the Cardinals for a longer amount of time with Kyler Murray. So I would go Kirk over Rondale Moore.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go Rondale Moore just because I think that he's going to take the top off the defense. They're probably going to have Hopkins work a little bit more of the routes that AJ Green was running, just kind of those shorter routes. I do think that they want to generate targets for Rondale Moore. They didn't have to get him. They didn't have to get a wide receiver. That wasn't really one of their concerns, but Kingsbury still went after him. Like you said, it has been frustrating being a Rondale Moore owner. He's not lived up to kind of that 1 week that you brought up where he had a running touchdown. He had a big bomb of a catch. Yeah, he had that week two where he had 7 receptions, 115 yards, and a touchdown. They're trying to work him in the running game too with those jet sweeps. I'm going Rondale Moore here over Christian Kirk. I don't know what it is. I just think that Moore has a little bit more of a higher fantasy ceiling. I know this is kind of us flipping the script, where usually I'm the guy who wants to go the safer route, and that'd be Kirk. And then Rondale Moore is kind of the explosive, hey, let's see what we got.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. That could also lead us to a bet, possibly, with me going Kirk and you going Moore. I mean,
I'd say so.
That's pretty good. How confident are you feeling?
I mean, with my recent board bet track records, not really. Right now I'm 2-0 from last week. I got to get out of the hole somehow. So I'm going Rondale Moore here. It is a Niners defense. Now, they're stingy against the pass. They're still, sneaky good even without Saleh there. They're ninth overall. They're the ninth toughest defense, rather, to wide receivers in fantasy there. So, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins, he's going to get all that attention. I think, Rondale Moore is going to get the benefit of the doubt there. You're going, Kirk. Write it down.
Awesome. Sounds good.
All right, so we have that. And also just a couple more running backs that are out. We do have Josh Jacobs and James Robinson. Are there any streamers that you're looking to replace either of those two with?
I mean, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. If you want to go after Carlos Hyde, if you want the Jaguars to be running the ball, I mean, Trevor Lawrence has not been as good as a lot of people were hoping, so they will have to probably run the ball a decent amount, and Carlos Hyde has gotten some touches throughout the year already, so he might be primed to fill in that James Robinson role if Robinson is out. I think that Kenyon Drake, same thing.
Yeah, it's been kind of odd. You know, the first couple weeks, if you were a James Robinson owner, you were expecting him to kind of pick up where he once left off last year, especially with ETN out. But then it took Urban Meyer a couple weeks to really get him involved, and then he loved giving the ball to James Robinson. They were grounding and pounding. He did avoid a serious injury. It is an ankle injury. He did not practice on Wednesday, so if he does, if he is out, I'd say that Carlos Hyde does get the running back. Where do you see him as far as as far as production on Sunday? If you are a James Robinson owner, you're able to get your hands on Hyde, or even if you just get your hands on Hyde just because you want a decent flex option, that's where I'm putting him as far as a flex running back. Your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. It'd definitely be a flex play. Might be a very good flex play. I mean, maybe, but still flex play, and that's where I see him. What do you make of that Raiders backfield?
I think Kenyon Drake, who's definitely had a large portion, even when Josh Jacobs has been in the lineup, he's been more of the receiving back. He's even got some goal line touches too, which is kind of surprising for even Josh Jacobs is concerned. But I do think Kenyon Drake is more of an RB2, possible upside RB1 if Josh Jacobs can't play. He does have a chest injury, so that's always kind of tough with the running backs. They did have a bye week last week, so they do have the 2-week rest period for Josh Jacobs. So he is a little bit more likely to play than James Robinson. But if there's no Josh Jacobs, I think 100% of leagues have to start Kenyon Drake. Like I said, even without them, too. Kenyon Drake, it's him, and then there's no one else. He's a 31st-ranked running back in fantasy. He's available in 40% of leagues, which is crazy in my eyes. I do think that he is a legit fantasy running back here. Again, you know, you may not have Allaire. You may not have Christian McCaffrey. You may not have James Robinson. You definitely don't have Derrick Henry. You know, spin the dice on Kenyon Drake. Roll him. Let's see what we got here. I mean, last week alone, he had 15 rushes, 70 yards, one touchdown, a couple receiving yards as well, a couple catches, which is always good for fantasy running backs. I'm pounding the table for Josh Jacobs and that Raiders offense.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. So I think that's the running backs for the week.
That's the running backs, yeah.
There are some key quarterbacks. Zach Wilson being out, Mike White steps in, 405 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, as a Jets fan, you love to see it. I mean, we haven't seen that since, I believe it was the year 2000. It was what was his name? Do you remember?
Well, as far as passing yards, is that, you're talking about Testaverde.
Yes.
Yeah, as the Jets record, as far as passing yards for a rookie, I think it was only Cam Newton not earn his first career start because Mike White isn't a rookie. Cam Newton, just him, were the only two people to throw for over 400 yards. Probably the best quarterback game since the Testaverde game for the Jets. So we've been waiting for it. It is a little scary to think about a possible quarterback competition, maybe. I don't want to get too ahead of myself here, but it's kind of looking that way. I know someone put down, I think someone was crazy enough to put down a $1,000 bet for Mike White to lead the league in passing yards that week. I think he walked away with over 100K.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was an Atlantic City bet, and it really paid off. I mean, I don't know who can see that coming, but
like, those are the people that are reckless with their money. Those are the people where it's like, hey, I'm just going to throw $1,000 on Mike White, and then you win $125,000. Like, how can you be so reckless to be like, yeah, Mike White, let me drop $1,000 on him. This guy obviously does not have a wife who is holding the checkbook for him.
Yeah. Other quarterbacks out, or possibly out. Sam Darnold possibly out. Do you think PJ Walker is startable?
I'm gonna go yes here, and I kind of hate myself for it. He may be thinking that this is kind of the league that he once played in before. I'm going for PJ Walker just because, again, a dual threat quarterback. He seems to add a little bit of a spark. I mean, he did start a game last year, I believe, or at least he came in relief. There are some better options out there. They are playing against New England, so that doesn't make him a very sexy option. But, you know, in fantasy, there's a thin line of quarterbacks as far as the waiver wire who you're like, oh, yeah, this is a no-brainer. A lot of them are very, you know, who do I go with this week? Some of them are going to work out. Some of them aren't. So if you want to get creative with PJ Walker, I'd say so. This is a tough Patriots defense. But then again, you know, Is it going to be Darnold? Is it going to be Walker? This is going to be a game time decision. So they're prepping for both quarterbacks right now. That's only tough for a defense to do here, planning for two guys at once.
Yeah, absolutely. P.J. Walker did start a game last year. He put up 9 points in week 11 against the Detroit Lions. That is a pretty bad defense compared to the Patriots this year. But also, P.J. Walker has had more time to develop, so maybe he puts on a good game. I mean, especially if McCaffrey's out, I would not play P.J. Walker because McCaffrey does offer that upside. However, if McCaffrey's playing, I would definitely think about P.J. Walker starting him because he can at least dump it off to McCaffrey, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also that does, you know, he does have one more weapon on McCaffrey if he does come back. But also, you know, normally I'd say no, that P.J. Walker, I wouldn't be starting him. But considering that my team is 2-6, I'm trying to do the old George Costanza and do stuff the opposite. So I'm just going to say, oh, yeah, you know, P.J. Walker, let's run it. But I think my number one quarterback to stream off the waiver wire this week, tell me if I'm wrong here, is Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill? Yeah, absolutely. He has come in before, and he has done well. There was that whole instance last year where he you could start him as a tight end, and everybody was loving that, mm-hmm. Who had him. And so he has proven that he has the skill set to do well. However, there might be another quarterback or two that are in that list if they decide to start them. I mean, there are a few key injuries. I mean, Jordan Love, maybe. And P.J. Walker, maybe. There's a lot of maybes this week. But, I mean, things will clear up as the week progresses.
Yeah, I'm pounding the table for Taysom Hill as well. He did have a couple good games last year when he was the starting quarterback. They are going to give him the ball a lot. They're going to set up a lot of design runs for him, a lot of direct snaps to him where he's just going to take off. You know, Taysom Hill, is he the prettiest thrower of the ball? Of course not. But I think that he does know the Sean Payton offense. He does have a connection with the wide receivers. You know, Taysom Hill, who is available in a lot of leagues. Right now, he is only available, I mean, he's available in 94% of leagues. I guess I'm crazy here thinking about that. But I think he is worth a start, at least picking him up if you're not starting him. This is against the Atlanta team, too, who I believe he did score 2 touchdowns against the Atlanta Falcons last year. And their defense is not good at all. So why not go Taysom Hill? I get it. You know, you probably have some other quarterbacks you are starting. You may have a Josh Allen at your quarterback. You may have a Kyler Murray. We're not even thinking about it. But, you know, in case you are one of the four teams, if you're a Brady owner and you need a quarterback, stream Taysom Hill. You know, there's going to be some bye weeks coming up. He's going to be the starter the rest of the year, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, unless he does poorly. Who was it that stepped in for him for Jameis Winston last week? Was it Trevor Siemian?
Yeah, it was Trevor Siemian because Taysom Hill was not healthy last week. He is going to be the starter this week if healthy, so we do have to keep an eye on that.
So, I mean, maybe it opens up a conversation for a competition because if Taysom Hill doesn't do well enough, Siemian put on a show last week.
Yeah, he did put up a show. It is tough playing against a quarterback that you haven't, you know, given you haven't looked at. You know, they prep for Jameis Winston all week, and then Trevor Siemian comes in and lights the world on fire. There's something about those quarterbacks that come in for relief that can sometimes kind of light a spark. He does have a concussion, Taysom Hill, so we will have to kind of see where that goes throughout the week. He's going to have that gadget role. It was a lot of fun having Taysom Hill as the starting quarterback last year for sure. Just because, you know, he was like Cam Newton. He did more runs than throws, and is he going to throw the prettiest ball? No, but Sean Payton knows how to work Taysom Hill. He knows how to get him the ball. Expect a lot of, you know, multi-touchdown games, and that's all you can expect from a quarterback in fantasy football where all through the year, yeah, why not give it a shot with Taysom Hill?
Yeah, absolutely. Any other injuries that you see? Any key injuries? I mean, there's a lot of questionables, but any key injuries?
Yeah, so Saquon Barkley, he too is on the COVID list. He is dealing with some swelling and soreness in his left ankle, so that could also be a problem. They do have a bye week next week, so they may think about kind of stealing this week and getting that extra week's rest. Do not expect Saquon Barkley to play. I believe he is vaccinated, so he can possibly, with the back-to-back negative tests, he can possibly play, but I think that he is not going to be playing. That ankle injury is going to keep him on the shelf, but then also he is on the COVID IR too. So if you are a Devontae Booker owner, you get another week of him before the bye. But also if you're picking up running backs here, I mean, we mentioned Carlos Hyde, McNichols, maybe even Gore if you are, you know, a crazy SOB. But also, what are your thoughts on Boston Scott here? Because there are a lot of there's a laundry list of running backs that are hurt. Boston Scott, 2 touchdowns last week. Are you somewhat interested in him?
I am not. Surprisingly, he is the one of the top options this week for the waiver wire. And a lot of people will say, yes, he is the guy to target and go pick him up. I think I have to agree with what I said last week. Even though they proved me wrong last week, the trends have shown that so far this year, other than that last game, that Jalen Hurts likes to run the ball enough that he doesn't like to share those runs. What do you think about what do you think about that?
I'm saying you're going for Boston Scott, even when he wasn't the starter. They did give him a lot of touches kind of throughout the year. Last year, he was kind of in a committee. It was more of a committee when Sanders was even here, too. So, you know, it was an odd week last week. That's definitely not, I'd say it's more of an outlier just because even Jordan Howard had two rushing touchdowns. Scott had a touchdown. So that's not going to be on a week-to-week basis. So don't get your hopes up. It was the Lions. They did score 44 points. But, you know, Jordan Howard does know this Eagles team. He was on there before. He did have two touchdowns, Howard, but I don't think that he's going to be too much of a fantasy concern. I think Scott is going to be the lead back, but not by much with Howard behind you. But I do think that there is enough rushing volume, even with Jalen Hurts as your quarterback, where you can start Boston Scott. Just because, you know, why not roll the dice? Is it the sexiest name? No, but, you know, again, you have Derrick Henry hurt, CMC may not play, Josh Jacobs, James Robinson, Saquon, on and on. Maybe Eli Mitchell won't play. I mean, you got to go Boston Scott here. This Chargers defense is surprisingly 27th against the run, so that could work. Their offense has looked, you know, has it looked better? They're not really in a good spot right now, but I think Boston Scott is a spark plug where you do start him for a week and see where it goes. Low-end flex, what do you think?
Maybe a low-end flex. I mean, if you start him, you put him at flex. I think that Jordan Howard will eat into it. I think that Jalen Hurts will run that ball some, and that'll eat into his share. And I think we'll go back to seeing more of the Jalen Hurts show. So I think it's hard to gauge how well he will do. But I think that you put him at your flex if you can get him. And if not, oh well. I mean, it's not that big of a loss.
All right, Fantasyland, episode number 2. This was your injuries kind of waiver wire wrap-up to see where that goes into the week here. So, of course, we're going to wrap it up here. Those are all your injuries. Those are kind of the waiver wire that you may be streaming right now. If you're a Derrick Henry owner, you know, we're sorry about that. So, yeah, this is Fantasyland, episode number 2, WNYO podcast.